Our scripture reading today is going to be taken from Luke, 2nd chapter, 22nd verse to the 44th. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to him, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also prophet Annas, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
You know, since I was a kid, one of the things I've always enjoyed is stories. I love stories. When I was a small child, my mother used to tell me stories, and then I had friends at school who were storytellers. I remember this guy, his name was, his last name was Wise, like Wise. And he and I used to sit in the cafeteria, and I would trade, he didn't usually bring lunch, so I would trade my lunch and help and share my lunch with him. In exchange, he would tell stories all through lunch. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but the Bible really is a series of stories. And, you know, we have songs that sing about it. They say, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus' glory, Jesus and his love." Well, the Bible is set up that way because God knew that we would retain stories. A story is something that even a child can remember. And you must remember that when the gospel was first spread, there were people that were very learned and very intelligent, but there were a lot of people who did not have education. And so you have things like the stained glass windows that you see in our sanctuary here. And each one of those stained glass windows tells a story of salvation. And we're going to develop a tour group, and I want all the members, in fact, to be aware of what those symbolisms are. But we're going to have a special tour group, so when we have visitors, they'll be able to give our visitors tours of those windows. And they tell the story of salvation that God has given. So my whole life I can tell in terms of stories. So today what I want to do is, you know, Jesus said that except you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So today what I want to do is tell you stories. And I hope that it won't be a problem for you, because you must realize that in these stories are embedded the truth of God. Doug? Yeah. So it's a confirmation of Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. And so starting Luke, the second chapter, verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph went back from the town in Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem to a town which was the city of David. And here we have Mary, a picture of Mary and Joseph taking that trip. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the guest room. Now, that's quite polite. You know, they had inns that they stayed at, and she didn't have any place to stay. So the innkeeper quite nicely, in fact, put him up in the stable. And, you know, even when I was a kid, people used to take straw and make beds. They stuffed their mattresses with beds, even when I was a kid. And so it's not all that unusual that straw would have been a clean and a convenient way to lay a babe to rest. But you would think that the king of all salvation would have been born in a beautiful mansion or someplace. But God is showing us right away something about this coming of his son. That Jesus comes not just for the rich. Jesus comes for every man and woman and child, no matter whether they have wealth or whether they have homes or whether they have money or they have food, whether they are poor, whether they are rich, Jesus came for all of us. And you'll see this repeated throughout this story. And there were shepherds in the field keeping their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them the same thing the angels always say, do not be afraid, because he knows that there's a reason to be afraid. You see this angel, and he's bright and shiny and powerful. He says, I bring you good news that will come and will cause great joy for all people, not just a few, not just the rich, not just the privileged. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened. Now, here, early on, I want you to realize what is going on here. This is something that God has planned from everything we can see in the scriptures, certainly well before he created the heavens and the earth. He had already foreseen that there would be a time when he would create man, and there would be a time when he would need to send the Savior. Because when you read in the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus was sacrificed from before the foundation of the world. And other scriptures also mention the same thing. So therefore, God is already preparing. Something this big, don't you think that you want to announce it? It's got to be announced, right? And also something this big, since it will not be believed by many people, you got to have confirmation. Hence the title of the sermon, The Confirmation of Jesus. Through this and through the things that God does here, he continually confirms that this is his son, that he is not just a baby. Although I want you to understand something. When Jesus was born, he was flesh and blood just like me and you. Just like me and you. He had to be flesh and blood because he came to save those who are flesh and blood who cannot save themselves. And so Jesus was a baby, born just like your babies, if you're mothers. Came out of the body of Mary. Carried for 9 months. All of that. And so many of it will help you to understand why many of the things that happen hereafter happen, okay? And the shepherds are going to go and see if what the angel has said, in fact, they believed it, and so they're going to go and see. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed, and the shepherds said what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, typical of Mary, you'll find it, the Bible says it's about Mary all the time, over and over. She treasured it up in her heart. So she would think about it because, you know, this is the angel. The angel came to her first and announced this. So these things that are happening, she believed God. But it's just amazing to her that she had the Son of God. And so she treasures these things up in her heart like mothers do. And she's taking account of this. And you realize that there's more than one shepherd. There's more than one wise man. You see these repeat of things. Why? Because in the Old Testament, the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word must be established. And so, in order for there to be a confirmation that this actually happened, that God actually came down from heaven and came into our world and was born as a child, you have to have confirmation. It could not be one person. It had to be at least two people. So every time, over and over again, you see two, three, or more people. And there were more than three wise men from everything that we can see in history, but we have developed this custom that says there were three of them. Maybe that's what fits neatly into a picture. I don't know. There's a reason for that. But the shepherds are all overjoyed. So they go and they spread the news about this. They go around, they tell everybody, and so this word about the coming of Jesus spreads. All right, now there is a custom that came from when God was working with Abraham. Before he became Abraham, he was still Abram. And that was what? That God commanded that he and all of his offspring had to be circumcised. So here's a man who's up in age, and he's circumcised. And then he set a law of a covenant between him and Abraham because he's given Abraham these promises. He says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's already talking about Jesus, the seed, singular, not seeds, plural. He had many, many children. I mean, he says your children are going to be like the sand of the sea. But he said, in your seed, which is singular, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he's talking about Jesus. And as a covenant between him and Abraham, he has him circumcised, not only himself, but all of his children. And after that is where the custom of the Jews came to circumcise boy babies when they're born. Now, this happens on the eighth day. And so on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given to him before he was conceived. And the angel had told Mary that this was to be his name. Now, why is Jesus going through all of this? And why are Mary and Joseph going through all of this? Because Jesus is the perfect man. He has no sin. Therefore, the law of Moses was in place at this time. In order for him to be righteous, he had to keep the law of Moses. That was the law, the prevailing law at the time. It was the law of Moses. And in the law of Moses, there was a requirement for circumcision, and there was also a requirement for purification when a woman had a child. Okay? So Mary has had a son. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, remember, we already said she took an 80-mile trip to go to Bethlehem in the beginning. Now she takes a trip again right after she's delivered the baby within the first couple of days. She takes another trip and goes back to Jerusalem. This is a tough little lady, Mary. You know, there may be other reasons why God chose her. She's a tough little lady because she's young. She's not an older woman. She is a young woman. When the time came for purification, they go back up to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And where does this come from? From the book of Exodus, from God's dealing with the children of Israel. When he took the children of Israel out of under slavery in Egypt, remember, the last plague that he sent on the Egyptians was what? The plague of the firstborn. So he struck down all the firstborn males, not only of every person that lived in Egypt, but also of animals. And so what God did from there was he said, from now on for the Israelites, every time you have an animal a firstborn, you have to dedicate it to God. In other words, it had to be sacrificed. You had a young lamb, your first lamb, it had to be taken to the priest and sacrificed. But if you had a donkey, and because donkeys were so useful in work for farming, and this is what these people did, he said you could redeem it, you could buy it back. So you'd give some other animal, but if you wouldn't redeem it, you had to kill it. And then for the firstborn males that were Israelite, that were born of the Jews, he said you had to redeem that child, that boy child. Because I spared you your firstborn and did not kill your firstborn. Therefore, you must dedicate him to me. So Jesus, like every Jewish baby boy, had to be dedicated. And there's a purification that has to take place for Mary having now had a child, which was also in the Mosaic law. And so they come up to Jerusalem and they have to bring an offering. And she came to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So this was the sacrifice that she had to give, she and Moses. And here you have a depiction of Mary and Joseph, and they would have gone into the temple courts. And there they would have bought from the money changers and the people that had animals, these animals. In this case, two pigeons or two doves to be sacrificed. Now, everybody didn't sacrifice a dove. Usually it was a lamb was a requirement. But in the law of Moses, the provision was if you were poor, you gave the two pigeons or the two turtle doves. So what does it tell us about Mary and Joseph? They're poor. So they are going to give these two pigeons or two turtle doves as their sacrifice. Leviticus 12, verse 7 says, these are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So this is a purification rite of the Jews. And so she and her husband Joseph go there to be purified and also to present Jesus so he can be accepted and be clean before God. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Remember we talked last week about the fact that there were people who took a Nazarite vow who had the Spirit upon them. And there were only a few people before the day of Pentecost that had the Holy Spirit. The prophets in general had the Holy Spirit. There were certain judges like Samson and others who delivered Israel who had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't always dwell inside of them, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them and move them to do certain things that God would have them do. And so this man has the Holy Spirit either in him or with him. And it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so God has respect to him because he's a believer, he's a devout man, he's a religious man, he believes in God. And there you see a depiction of him watching as Mary and Joseph come in with their sacrifice and with the baby. And he realizes that this is the Christ, the Messiah. And so it's a really special time to him. And so Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So what he's saying is, I'm ready to die. I've seen the Christ that you promised me. Now it's okay. I'm ready to die. He says, dismiss your servant in peace. Your servant, which you have prepared in the sight of the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, he knew something, or maybe he didn't fully understand it, but he knew something that the disciples had to discover later on. Do you realize that? They had this big argument over in Acts 15 about who is accepted before God. And remember, Peter has this vision where the sheet is let down on, and there are all kinds of animals. And he has to go through this whole thing with God to accept the fact that God was going to call and deal with Gentiles, people who are not Jews, and bring them into his own family, just like them. But you remember in Acts 15, when they go back and rehearse the scriptures and they look at it, they realize that there's scriptures in Isaiah and other places that already said that the Gentiles would come to God. And here we see another example of that. Simeon, who is a prophet, already knows that Jesus is sent not just to the Jews, but to all people. Amen? Amen? And aren't you glad? Because there are very few Jews in the room. And he's prepared in the sight a light for the revelation to Gentiles and glory of his people Israel, even though many of them did not accept him. And the child's father and mother marveled at what he said about their child. They were just amazed. And he's standing there in their midst, and he goes into this prophecy, which is he's talking about things that are going to happen in the future. Because he's a prophet. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel. It will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." I don't know if you ever thought about that. A sword shall pierce your soul too. He's destined for the rising and fall of many. We see it all came to pass. What did Jesus say? His famous words. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. He turned things upside down. People who were Jews, who were first, who would not accept him, were rejected. But the Gentiles, people who really didn't have any lineage, they weren't the real flesh and blood children of Abraham, were accepted. So it was a flip-flop kind of a thing that was going on. People that were poor were accepting him. The rich were rejecting him. The Jews were rejecting him. The Gentiles were accepting him. So there was a lot of rising and falling going on. "And a sword shall pierce your soul too." And here he's probably referring to the fact that Jesus, you remember, as he is dying and he's pretty much dead, the soldier takes the Roman spear and he jabs into his side and he draws out and blood and water flows out of his body. And Mary is a mother. If you're a mother watching your child up on a cross like this, you're hurting too. And so it's as if she's being pierced with the sword too. And so all this came to pass. And then there was this woman named Anna, who was a prophetess, who was also there in the temple. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple, but worshiped day and night in fasting and prayer. So God is close to her, and she is close to God. And she also receives this message. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Why is this happening? It's happening because it is a part of God's confirmation of his son. And so you have these prophets that come in who have no reason to even know he's coming, and yet they know he's coming. And it's because God is not just confirming it to them, brothers and sisters. He's writing a confirmation for you and me. That through all these witnesses that saw and all these things that happened that are written down, we may believe that Jesus really actually came to the earth as a human. And that we may believe that he lived in the flesh like you and me. And that when he lived a perfect life, then he had as a son of God the right to take that perfect life and to give it to you and me as a sacrifice so that we could be righteous before God. And so these written things are written out not just for these people of this time, but they're written for you and me that we may believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. That we may believe. That's the thing. Because he knew that it was for us as well. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have the story of our Lord and Savior from his birth, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And all this is done, why? So the truth may be established by two or three witnesses, as we mentioned before. That he made the proof open and visible. He made shepherds coming, wise men coming, goes to Herod, he tells everybody. The truth is supported by scripture, which we've seen. It is presented to all, rich and poor, and it is written down for all future generations, for you and me. Amen?
Amen.
Receive the word of the Lord, and in this coming year, make sure you remember that the Son of God actually came to earth, that God loves us that much, and that we must live different lives because of that as we go about our business. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the confirmation that you give us that your Son was real, that he actually came into our time, in our history, in our space here on this earth. Though he was outside of space and not confined or controlled by space, he made himself subject to time and space here on this earth, that we may have a witness and have a confirmation that your Son has indeed come and that our salvation is real and true. Help us to believe it and accept it, and help us to live in accordance with that as we walk in 2016 and going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.